Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase here on the mic on this Thursday edition of the show, alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. And Gino, it's an interesting day, and right here on the show, we're going to kick off a series that we did last offseason, and it's called Offseason Options. We'll go through the coaching staff today because Mike Groh, offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, no more, as is Carson Walsh out of the NovaCare Complex, the former wide receivers coach. Peterson yesterday said both guys were going to be back, but then today I wake up in the afternoon and boom, both guys are out. So I thought, what's a better time to kick this off than now? And we'll do this for quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, every position. We'll get into, you know, the options the Eagles have this offseason through free agency, through the draft, through trades to improve that part of the organization. And before we get into that, Gino, in segment two, though, just initial thoughts. Me and you both wanted this. We've been calling for this now for 2 years with Mike Groh, and with Carson Walsh this year, you just saw the regression from so many different receivers and the lack of progression from other guys, and we were nervous that maybe making the playoffs would kind of make them complacent in this area and keep those guys, and I thought yesterday confirmed that with Doug saying they were going to be back, but it sounds like Jeffrey Lurie kind of, you know, overtook that decision, and apparently he's wanted them out since the beginning of December, so this was maybe an ownership decision.
Yeah, I saw that exact same thing from Jeff McClain, which is kind of good to see because Jeffrey Lurie does care about this football team. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to see, and we've echoed that idea that everybody has bought into this organization from the top all the way down to the bottom. And that starts with your owner, Jeffrey Lurie, and the fact that he was able to express his power in that way and let it be known that, hey, if things aren't going right, we're just not going to stick to the status quo.
Right.
Much like we did in the 2000s when a lot of it stayed the same. And the idea of run it back was literally the entire 2000s until maybe like 2006 or 2007 with the Eagles. So it is good to see finally now. And me and you, I think we both agree on this, that we wanted to see a new wave of offensive minds
Yes.
in that building. And to get Groh out of there, it's good. It's relieving. And the same thing with Carson Walsh. I ultimately think that he was put in a tough position, Walsh, because Groh obviously was the wide receivers coach that did well for them in 17. And now they're on their what? They're going to go to their fifth wide receiver coach.
Yeah.
So these guys have just been getting coached up by five different voices now. And you're sitting there and you got guys like Aguilar who are up and down in their career. There's question marks about JJ right now and how he's being coached and what's really going on behind the scenes at that position. But now I think you're going to get buy-in from whoever comes into this building and just a renewed sense of freshness in this team, you know, because there was a lot of promoting from within. Doug did like to promote his guys, but now when you're seeing that things are kind of like going back to the mean and you're being one of these teams that's reactive rather than proactive. I talk about this ideology a ton. Now you are once again being proactive. I think getting rid of Groh and Walsh is the first step in that because Doug is a very good play caller in his own right. But he needs yeah. guys around him that are going to question what he does. And that's the best thing.
Get rid of the yes men. Get rid of the yes men, right? Yeah, so that's why, I don't know, am I wrong to give Doug Peterson most of the credit down the stretch for turning around that offense? I mean, I don't think so.
No, not at all. I mean, he has to put together the game plan,
yeah.
especially when you're in these games with guys that you're down to your practice squad guys. You're having to bring guys in that have barely gotten snaps throughout the season. Yeah, in an offense, you have the same terminology in a West Coast offense, and you bring guys in that play in a West Coast offense. But to call the plays that are going to work in said offense, that's on Doug. And yeah, you have to give credit to Mike Groh and changing up some things.
Sure,
but ultimately,
yeah.
I put a lot of it on Doug as well. And he took accountability for it. I think people are being hard on him for not saying that Groh and Walsh weren't going to come back this year. Because what's he supposed to say in his press conference? Is he supposed to say that these guys stunk and they were just bad coaches? No, he's going to support the guys. And I'm sure he may think that those guys have helped him down the road. And yeah, absolutely. They were around him every day in the building, helping him out. I'm sure he's going to be attached to them. Doug Peterson, he's big into relationships. He loves growing relationships with his coaches, with his players, making them feel appreciated. Of course, he's going to say that about Groh and Walsh.
That's,
but when your
yeah.
owner has something to say, that's when it all comes down to what he has to say.
Well, that's why, I don't know, I go back and forth with it. Like, I agree with you that he probably wouldn't have really just come out and said they were going to be gone yesterday. But at the same time, like, he wasn't as aggressive in saying Jim Schwartz was going to be back. So, I don't know. Like, I agree with you that that was probably Doug Peterson's mindset, was he didn't really have a complete decision there, but he didn't, you know, want to make it seem like, you know, in the public that he might fire those guys. However, when he just comes out and says, like, they're going to be back next year, and then the next day the ownership is kind of the one that takes control per this report, I don't know if maybe Doug did kind of get overruled here, and maybe the playoffs made him actually more comfortable with keeping those guys around, whereas I'm glad that Jeffrey Lurie maybe recognized that, like you said, proactive versus reactive. Okay, yeah, we made the playoffs. We won four straight games. The offense improved despite the personnel changing up dramatically, but this team still needs fresh, new perspective from the outside. And I love that, like you said about Jeffrey Lurie, that this is an owner that isn't just in tune with, you know, the big decisions, right? The quarterback, the head coach, big free agent signings, like massive trades, that kind of stuff. But also he's recognizing what's going on in that coaching staff. I mean, that's huge. Not many owners can probably say that they're that in tune with their team and they care to that level. So that was really good to see. And again, I'm with you, dude. They promoted from within a lot. You know, Mike Groh, Carson Walsh, Press Taylor. For me, I'm really, and we'll get into some options in segment two, I am praying that they do not do that again. Look, I love Deuce Staley as a running backs coach. Press Taylor is a young guy that, you know, people around the league think highly of, but Gino, like you said, man, they need new guys that can bring in a different perspective than Doug has, because I think that'll just be a huge dynamic, and I just don't think Deuce Staley will bring that. I don't think Press Taylor will bring that.
Absolutely not. I love Deuce as an individual, and I love him for his time in Philly, and I love what he's been able to do at the running back position and as an associate head coach. It's not like Doug isn't taking care of Deuce. He's his right-hand man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's there helping him call plays and design plays. Like, he's part of the process.
And I don't want to say he shouldn't be an offensive coordinator down the road either. Or I don't even want to say he's not qualified to do that somewhere else.
You don't
want to
take him away from his hands-on at the running back position right now, especially when you have youth there. You want him to be coaching these guys up every day. If he's the OC, not only does he have to worry about the running backs, now he has to worry about the tight ends, the wide receivers, the offensive line. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Deuce is doing a great job with the running backs. I think this year, Lou, you and I finally, I'd say probably halfway through the season, we were okay with what they were doing committee-wise once they started to stick to the hot hand with Miles Sanders. I mean, it ultimately took Jordan Howard getting injured,
yeah,
but then they started to finally call a good game plan with the running backs. And even with Howard in the lineup, they were still giving it to Howard, who at the time was the hot hand. So I think we both agree that he is doing good things at that position and continue to keep him there. He is the associate head coach next to Doug. It's not like he hasn't been promoted from within. But now you're seeing the same. I mean, how predictable was the Eagles offense? You saw the same motion. You saw Josh Perkins motion across the offense four different times. You knew he was going to try to have a pin pull block on a run, a zone run. And you know when JJ's on the field that they were going to probably run it. You knew when Greg Ward was coming across the formation that it would be a touch pass and so on and so forth. So, I mean, they need new creativity in this offense, and it's not going to take much, especially when you get new playmakers into this offense that you can really toy around with. It's going to be fun to see who they bring in. Some of the names that they're mentioning already really excite me.
Yeah, and look, Doug Peterson is still in the building, and he is one of the best offensive minds in football. He's still going to be the play caller, so it's not a position that, you know, they need to bring in the next Doug Peterson, right? But it would be nice, again, to get some new perspective and just a fresh mind, because again, we don't know exactly what happened inside the building during the week with putting together the game plan and, you know, their say in the play calling. But it just, I mean, when Mike Groh comes out and says that he was struggling to implement Golden Tate into the offense last year, and just there, and you see the wide receivers, which was his forte before he became OC, and Carson Walsh too, you see Alshon takes such a significant step back, and I mean, talk about a significant step back with Nelson Aguilar and JJ having an up and down rookie year and not being able to get him cross-trained at other positions and not being able to get him on the field after he dropped a pass against the Lions. You make the kid sit on that for months and months. There was just too many things that I had a problem with that. Yeah, again, that four-game stretch was really nice, but we did a whole episode of don't let this playoff run that could potentially happen that we suspected could happen, and it ended up did happening again for a second year straight. Don't let that make you complacent. There are things in this coaching staff that really need a change, and I've been really encouraged, Gino, not just today with seeing those two are going to be moving on and they're going to be bringing in at least two new fresh offensive minds, but I loved what Howie Roseman had to say yesterday and came out and was real and was honest about what they did right this year, but also what they have to do this offseason. It's going to be an extremely busy one to get this team back to where they need it. So the past 2 days, I don't think you could start off the offseason in a better way for this team. I think they're moving in the right direction.
I think out of all of this, outside of just the firings, the one big thing that you could take away from this is accountability.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what Howie Roseman said in his press conference. He said, a lot of this was on me to get them into the situation. I have to improve how I pick individuals. You kind of see how he kind of questioned his draft philosophy on only picking proven players.
Loves that, by the way. Like,
yeah, that's huge. I mean, you're going to see, I think, an influx of new ideas into this team, and that is great to see. And not only was Howie held accountable, but even Doug in his statement today, he held accountable. And I think that's huge. Even when the head coach says something, he will go back on it if it means being held accountable. And that sets a great tone for your team, because at the end of the day, who are the guys that you're going to look up to as a player? You're going to look at your head coach and say, what is this guy doing? Oh, he's accountable? Yeah, I need to be accountable. You know who's going to be the biggest influence for this team? Carson Wentz, the ultimate man of accountability. So keep that going. Keep holding people accountable. We said that was one of the flaws of this team for the last 2 years, was the failure to keep people accountable. This is a great stretch. I think you hit it right on the head. The last 2 days to start this offseason, outside of that, whatever Doug Peterson's press conference was saying that Groh is coming back, I think he even walked back on that today and righted his wrong. And I think this team is going in the right direction for probably the first time in about a year and a half.
It's a nice change of pace, too, because that's not how coaches always are. That's not how, you know, general managers and players always are when it comes to accountability. We went through 3 years of Chip Kelly always blaming execution. So it's very good that they put their egos to the side and they owned up that, yeah, while, again, December, super encouraging, winning the division, getting into the postseason shows, again, that this team, through all the ups and downs, can still, you know, overcome that adversity at the end, but they were honest and knew that the end goal still, there needs to be a lot of work to get to that. And that does start with the front office, the coaching staff, and now there's going to be some new coaches in the building at NovaCare Complex in 2020. And me and Gina will get into some of the options now, because Doug Peterson needs to fill that offensive coordinator spot. He needs to fill that wide receiver coaching spot. We'll get into some names for that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Eagles fans across the globe, this is Locked On Eagles, a Thursday edition of the show. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you as always right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team. Every day, it's our first installment of off-season options, and it comes at a pretty good time because Mike Groh is out as Eagles offensive coordinator and Carson Walsh is no more at wide receiver coach. So, Gino, let's get into some options here. And before we get into some specific names, we talked about what we want in this spot, right? A fresh perspective, someone that can, you know, you don't want just a yes man with Doug. You want someone that can say, no, on third and two here, we shouldn't be running that wide receiver screen. I like this play, you know, and you want that throughout the week too, putting together the game plan. You want accountability. And another thing you want, though, Gino, is, and I go back to when John DeFilippo was here and when Frank Reich was here, you need that those right-hand men for Carson Wentz, because I think that was huge. And while Wentz doesn't, I don't think, necessarily need that anymore, because he's not a rookie, he's not a second-year quarterback. Like, I think right now he can, you know, improve his performance on his own with Doug. But I think to have a guy always in his ear that's respected, that knows the position really well, I just don't think Mike Groh was really qualified, or Press Taylor, too, to be that guy for Carson Wentz. He needs a guy that's going to be there all the time, like Doug, and, you know, kind of go back and forth with him, you know, exchange ideas. And he needs a guy that will keep his mechanics and footwork consistent, because that's one thing. I was very pleased with Carson Wentz's 2019 season. One thing, though, that was very up and down was his throwing motion and was his footwork, and those things definitely coincide. There were just times, I mean, you go to the Minnesota game, the Miami game, the Green Bay game, you could see the throwing motion was pretty tight and well disciplined. And then there was other times where it was very windy, and when the game kind of got out of hand, you saw the mechanics and the footwork suffer. So that's another thing I'm looking for here, is whoever my OC is, because he's not a play caller, I want him very in tune with my quarterback.
Yeah, you really want that quarterback whisperer mentality that they had in 2017 when they brought all of those great minds together. And we talk about John DeFilippo arguably being the biggest influence in Carson Wentz's career. And they talked about that offseason when he went and changed up his throwing motion. And him and DeFilippo used to go back and forth, and you would read stories about them literally argue, like yelling at each other. I remember
in a good way.
They would always go back and forth, but yes, in a good way. And it's because they're challenging each other. And I think the biggest thing at that position, and what Press Taylor, and who arguably should be the next man out the door, in all honesty, he is a guy who didn't have much experience, and a lot like the wide receivers coaches outside of Groh, but a guy like Gunter Brewer and a guy like Carson Walsh, they didn't have much experience. You need experience at those positions.
Agreed.
Especially at the quarterback position, because even Carson needs to be held accountable. Like you said, with his footwork and his throwing motion, it got sloppy at times. Mm-hmm. You heard down the stretch that Carson, when he started to find his groove, they were testing it a lot to Josh McCown, which is good to see, because he is willing to listen and willing to adapt. So you have somebody in his ear who will tell him the right things, hold him accountable for his footwork, make him get back to that 2017 form, and not just let him do the Carson hero ball that we have seen, mm-hmm. and really hold him accountable for his actions. I think that will be a huge improvement. And same with the wide receiver position. You really need somebody there that is going to be willing, especially in the next couple of years when you're going to see Alshon out the door, when you're going to see Deshaun out the door, and they bring a massive influx of wide receiver talent in, to be able to coach them up. I make the joke on Twitter a couple times that they should pay the guy that scouts Eagle or the Steelers scout that drafts their wide receivers and their wide receiver coach. They should pay them all the money in the world, because they seem to find wide receivers out of the sky. But you absolutely need somebody that will hold Carson accountable. You need somebody at the wideout position that will hold them accountable. And I think there are some guys that can really come in here and make a difference, and have made differences in quarterbacks throughout their careers.
Well, that's why I go back and forth with this, too, is because you don't want another young guy like Press Taylor, maybe, that is going to just be another yes man that doesn't have a huge say in game planning. And maybe that's why you want a Jay Gruden type of, you know, veteran coach like Frank Reich was with Doug Peterson. And that right. For Doug Peterson, I think that's what Doug needs. But at the same time, what Carson needs kind of is that maybe former quarterback turned coach, like maybe that is Josh McCown or hypothetically Mike Kafka, who every Eagles fan, I'm sure, remembers Mike Kafka, the former third string quarterback. He was kind of the Nate Sudfeld before Nate Sudfeld back in the early 2010s. And right now he's with Andy Reid's coaching staff in Kansas City as their quarterback's coach. And Patrick Mahomes, hey, he's pretty good. So maybe a Mike Kafka, a Josh McCown. So that's why I think a guy like Josh McCown has the respect of Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson's got to trust them to allow them to have such a big role in game planning. Whereas with Mike Groh, again, Gino, it's just a feeling I have. I don't really have a lot of evidence to back it up. But at the end of the year, the past 2 years, I think Doug just said, you know, F it. Like, I'm taking over this, and it's just going to be me, my game plan, and I'm going to carry this offense back to where it needs to be. I don't know. That was just my feeling.
For sure. And I like that Lurie kind of had his mind set up that Groh was going to be out the door, and maybe there were conversations behind the scenes that we don't know about that kind of gave Doug more control in the offense. I don't know. I'm kind of just speculating there.
Yeah, it's tough to know with coaching, because there's no proof on the field.
Yeah, no, we really wouldn't know unless we were on the sidelines hearing what they were talking about back behind the scenes, knowing what was really going on. But this is the perfect time to do it. You are going to be in kind of a little bit of a transition year. You're going to have more turnover than we've seen in the last 2 years, I would say, this offseason. Mm-hmm. You have 10 draft picks. You're going to bring in a multitude of undrafted free agents. Now is the time that you have to do it. I think this 2018, you kind of had a reason to keep grow around. You were like, or moving into 2019 after 2018. I mean, you had the injury bug. You're like, okay, did grow do enough? Could we see another year of him? Yeah, you can justify it. But after what you saw this year and how long it took that offense to get going, once again, I think it was kind of the final nail in the coffin. But I'm excited to see an offseason where they have an influx of ideas, and it'll be great to see some new offensive ideologies out there and bring in some new patterns and bring in some new routes to this offense for these wide receivers to run and anything outside of 12 personnel that can be involved in the game plan will be huge. Doug is great with that. He's got 12 personnel down pat. Now we got to bring in some 11 and get this offense back to throwing some changeups from time to time.
So let me ask you, because I mentioned Mike Kafka as someone that I really like for this option, maybe a Josh McCown if they believe in him enough to make that Kellen Moore-like jump. I mean, he was kind of a coach on the sidelines this year for not just Carson Wentz, but for all those young wide receivers down the stretch. Love hearing about him after practice, you know, getting Deontay Burnett ready and Robert Davis and kind of telling them how Carson Wentz likes this route run and, you know, so on and so forth. Is there someone that you favor for this OC job specifically before we get into the wide receiver coach spot?
Yeah, so for the names that we've heard mentioned, I would say out of the two, the one was O'Connell from the Redskins, yeah. And then the other one, the big name, was Jim Caldwell, which really piques my fancy because I was just looking at his Football Outside numbers, the DVOA for his offenses that he has ran since the year 2012 when he was in Baltimore.
Oh, and Flacco had took off. Super Bowl, yeah, run.
Since 2012, Lou, he has only been a part of one offense that has been outside of the top 20 in DVOA.
Wow.
And yes, the Miami Dolphins 2019 offense finished at 20th, where he was the assistant head coach and quarterbacks coach.
Yeah.
So he is a guy that he's no Mike Groh that has a terrible DVOA and gets fired by his dad at Virginia and just fails to bring any new concepts to this offense. It kind of just was put into this role after we unfortunately lost Frank Reich to the Colts because of Josh McDaniels, and we lost DeFilippo to the Vikings.
Well, that's what's so embarrassing, Gino, is like Groh, everyone that wasn't an Eagles fan that would ask me, like, who's their offensive coordinator when they were struggling, I'd say Mike Groh. And for the college football fans I talked to, they'd be like, oh, is that the guy that got fired by his dad? I'm like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally the guy who got fired by his dad. But yeah, I think Caldwell, especially because he's a guy that unfortunately didn't have any head coaching opportunities after his time in Detroit, which I think is pretty bad because he did well there. I mean, for what he had, he did well. I think Caldwell is a guy who will fit this culture very well. He's well regarded around the NFL. His work with, I mean, look at what he did with Joe Flacco back in the 2012.
Flacco was nearly perfect in that playoff run.
Yeah, he was with the Colts before that. He's been around a lot of good quarterbacks, and he's done some good things with them. I mean, Matt Stafford after that, and even this year with Fitzpatrick in Miami, I think he would have be a guy that would come in here and be instrumental in what Carson Wentz does next season and would be a guy that Doug could lean on, especially because he has that head coaching background. I think the reason why Jim and Doug have such a good relationship is because they were both head coaches and they kind of get that perspective. You know, I don't know why. I just feel like Jim has a respect for Doug and Doug has a respect for Jim. Like Doug is all hands off and let Schwartz do his thing. And Doug does his thing on the offensive side of the ball. And I think if Caldwell came in, he would push back against Doug, but he would also at the same time be a guiding force for Doug because he's still learning. He's still a relatively young coach, only 4 years into his head coaching career. Caldwell's been around the game. I mean, he got his first head coaching gig in 2009, so he's been around for quite some time. He would be a great guy to bring into this team.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Caldwell. I mean, even a Jay Gruden, I think, had to deal with a lot in Washington. Mm-hmm. I don't want to blame Gruden for a lot of what happened there just because of how inept that front office was. And, of course, Daniel Snyder maybe is the worst owner in all of sports. So Jay Gruden, you know, a Caldwell, one of those kind of savvy veteran offensive coordinators will be fine with me because not only will they help Doug will respect their opinion, but they've shown they have a track record for making quarterbacks maybe look better than they are. You know, Flacco's, the Kirk Cousins of the world, and Matt Stafford as well. But at the same time, like I said, a Mike Kafka. I would like a Josh McCown, someone that you've brought up a lot, somebody that I've seen brought up a lot because of their success at LSU is Joe Brady.
Joe Brady.
I think Brady is someone that's interesting. I mean, look, Burrow is, I think that's the kind of guy that a college type of coach, you've said it a lot on the show that you'd like to bring in maybe some new college minds to this coaching staff because the Eagles haven't really done that a whole lot.
Yeah, one guy I mentioned bringing in any Big 12 coordinator just because they run those crazy offenses, and you saw that down in Arizona this year that Kingsbury did an okay job with what he was dealt because he was able to implement some offenses that teams haven't seen and some concepts that teams haven't seen. And one guy that I mentioned on Twitter the other day that I think is prime for the picking right now, especially because his head coach has just left the organization, is that if he doesn't follow Matt Rhule to Carolina, is co-offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Baylor, Glenn Thomas.
Yeah.
The thing about Glenn Thomas is before Baylor, he was with Rhule at Temple. You got a Philly connection. He is a quarterback guy. He has been instrumental in developing Charlie Brewer at Baylor. I mean, a couple years ago, they were 1-11. They had two very good seasons back-to-back, and Charlie Brewer was a great passer in the Big 12. He's a guy that I definitely would bring in. I mean, there's guys, other guys in we mentioned Joe Brady. I think there are plenty of names. You could look around the college landscape and look at some teams that have developed good quarterbacks. I mean, you could dip into the ranks of maybe even a Texas Tech or one of those Big 12 teams that has these guys that know how to design plays, even if not for an OC position, but maybe like a assistant, offensive play design. I don't know what you want to call it. But
yeah, just any offensive specialist.
Yeah, an offensive specialist or something like that. Like, even if you hire Caldwell, don't stop there. Like, continue to bring in new minds.
Yeah.
The more, the merrier. And if Jeffrey Lurie understands that, hey, just having a guy like Mike Groh isn't going to get it done, maybe he's willing to buck up and pay some more so they can bring in some more assistants. You never know. I mean, it's going to be an interesting offseason to really see how they restructure their personnel department, how they restructure their coaching staff. It's going to be intriguing these next couple months.
I have an option from the college ranks, actually, for a wide receiver coach, and it's actually Michigan offensive coordinator Josh Gattis. I like him because Michigan, look, they were 20th this year nationally in efficiency offensively, which isn't terrible for a 12-game season for a first-year offensive coordinator. Was actually watching a lot of the film breakdown of him being a play caller when Harbaugh would allow him that power, and I actually saw some good things, but mostly for that wide receiver spot, if he wants to make that jump to the NFL, because he's never coached in the NFL, I like it because he was Alabama's wide receiver coach last year, and you know Alabama's track record for wide receivers. He got to coach some amazing prospects last year. I mean, Alabama this year is going to have two first-round picks. Devonta Smith would be a pretty – I don't know. Did he declare for the draft?
No, I think Devonta Smith is going to school.
But if he was in it –
about his development and Waddle and the list going on.
Yeah, and you look, too, before he was with Alabama, Gattis was part of Penn State's staff. He was coaching up Chris Godwin, who broke records there, and he was also a really big part of Jordan Matthews' success at Vanderbilt. So, yeah, you can make a case for a college guy like Joe Brady as offensive coordinator, but I think for a wide receiver coach, too, if you can get wide receivers to produce in college, I would trust a guy like that to come up to the NFL level and try to develop some of these young players because that's what the Eagles are going to have at the wide receiver spot this year. I would imagine after DeSean Jackson, Geno, it's a bunch of young dudes.
Yeah, one guy that really piques my fancy, and it's unfortunate that he coached with the Cowboys last couple seasons, but it's a guy that we're familiar with from here in Buffalo is wide receiver coach Sanjay Lal.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember when he left Buffalo that I remember listening to WGR and all the guys on the local sports talk radio were pretty upset about it because they said that he was doing great things here in Buffalo. He went on to Indy in 17 and then he went to Dallas in the last two seasons with Dallas. You have seen the development in their wide receivers. I mean, look at Michael Gallup. I mean, Tavon Austin, they've been able to do actually something with him as a wide receiver. They bring in Amari Cooper and all of a sudden he's an all pro. It's a big hats off to what they did there. And you want to talk about a guy who has quite the track record in the league. I mean, he started in the league back in 07 with the Raiders. He was a quality assistant coach, and then he became their wide receivers coach, went to the Jets, went to the Bills, went to the Colts, went to Dallas. He's been around for quite some time, a guy that has a resume, a guy that has developed players. we liked the idea a couple years ago of bringing Groh here because he was an established wide receiver coach who was good at doing just that. Now is the time to bring in a good wide receiver coach who is good at doing just that. And Sanjay Lal, that's his cup of tea. I would absolutely be down, even though he had the star on his hat the last couple seasons, to bring him into Philly because he has a resume of developing young talent and getting them ready to play. And we talk about coaching being a downfall of this team in many positions on this group the last couple seasons. I think Lau would be instrumental in getting that group back on track. I think Caldwell would be an awesome hire. I just think the more experience, the better. How we talked about maybe taking a step back of evaluating players that have more college production and putting them in a favorable stance. You got to be all for going for coaches that have performed well and have exceeded in the NFL, because the idea of bringing guys up from college like you have done at the wide receiver coach position, and outside of Corey Unlin, I mean, you've brought in some young coaches and Press Taylor and a couple other guys. It's time to bring in some established guys at those position coach positions.
I agree with you. And, you know, again, that's why I'm not opposed to bringing in young coaches, but I would like them to have some experience, like a Mike Kafka. You know, even again, I'm confident that a Josh McCown could do the job, but if you can get me a guy that has a little bit of both, you know, experience making quarterbacks thrive, and they've been, you know, like a former head coach, like a Caldwell or a Jay Gruden, I'm in on that. Please don't give me Pat Shurmur, though. So no, I don't want the complete opposite end of the spectrum either. I don't want that kind of washed up coach. So, you know, it's kind of a balance, like everything has to be in the NFL to find the right coaches here on the offensive side of the football. And then coming up next, we're going to get into the defensive coordinator spot. Although it could still very well be Jim Schwartz, I do want to talk about some options if Doug ends up moving on at that spot as well. And also, the defensive backs coach, that's a position that I don't think Corey Unlin is safe. I hope he's not safe. We'll get into some options there as well. Coming up on this final segment of a Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles, it's offseason options, the coaching edition. Don't go anywhere. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are wrapping up this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. It's off-season options, the coaching staff edition of the podcast. And, Gino, we got into a lot of offensive stuff our listeners can dissect. I think it's the most important part moving forward because, you know, Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, they're the most important parts of your franchise. You want to make sure they have the best support system around them as possible, because those two can carry a practice squad-led offense to the postseason. But defense as well. Defense, there's got to be a lot of changes, not just on the field, but coaching-wise as well. A lot of the issues you saw on the field, I thought, were a direct result of Jim Schwartz, of Corey Unlin, and a lot of the assistant coaches. And while Schwartz got another bill of confidence from Doug today in his statement when he talked about letting Mike Groh go and letting Carson Walsh go, you saw yesterday in the press conference, Groh and Walsh got that bill of confidence. So would I be surprised still if Doug moved on from Schwartz? He was pretty kind of flaky about talking about Schwartz's job security yesterday at the podium, way less confident when he was talking about him compared to Groh and Walsh. So hypothetically, if Schwartz, let's say, I don't know, maybe he got the Cleveland head coaching job or the Eagles actually did let him go, I don't know, Gino. I'm going because I trust Philip Daniels. I like the personnel the Eagles have up front, especially if you bring in another young guy this year in round one, two, or three. I'm happy there. What I need, kind of like on offense, I want to maximize that quarterback spot from a coaching perspective and wide receiver. On defense, dude, I want defensive back gurus. It's time to finally have a strong secondary, and whether that's I was thinking, who are the best secondaries in the league? I really like, obviously, what New England has done. That's Steve Belichick. Would he consider being the DC? He's not going to make a lateral move as the Eagles defensive backs coach, but is something like that, would the Eagles go that bold? Or, you know, for DC, I'm thinking maybe a Chris Hewitt. I really like the Ravens secondary. I think that's always been a strong spot of their defense, regardless of personnel. Chris Hewitt, someone like that. I want defensive back maximized this year. It's time to not have a garbage secondary, please. Mostly corner, but because you got to give the safeties credit, but I think it's time for that to be really strengthened up.
For sure. We talked about dipping into the college ranks at LSU. Let's double up. How about DBU's defensive back coach?
I was just about to say him. I'm glad you mentioned him because I wrote him down too.
Oh, did you? No kidding.
He was my next option.
He's been there for 8 years now. He's developed some unbelievable corners. I mean, it is literally a defensive back university.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with Christian Fulton. It would kind of be like a full circle thing and you bring him into town. But you look at – there was a video of Joe Brady today on Twitter, and you saw him interacting with wide receivers and, like, doing hands-on stuff, and you love to see that. And I would love to have a guy from the LSU coaching staff who is fired up. I mean, if you coach for under Coach O, you got to be – you got to have a few screws loose in your head to be a complete football guy. Yeah. And being defensive back university, man, bring him into town, pay him whatever it's worth. You have to just have a position coach that knows how to coach there. I mean, you could even dip into Ohio State's coaching staff.
True.
You know, why would you not want to at least make an offer to one of these guys?
I am very glad you brought up Corey Raymond, because I kept going with, all right, let's go to college. What university has just continued to churn out top-end secondary personnel? And it's LSU literally is DBU. I mean, this guy, Raymond, coached Trey White, Jamal Adams, Grant Delpit, Christian Fulton. The list goes on. Greedy Williams even last year was a pretty high pick with the Cleveland Browns. So I think that lateral move for him would be good, because he's taking that jump from college to the pros. And that, I just, again, I don't. It doesn't have to be for the defensive coordinator spot, but find me a guy that has churned out tons of good cornerbacks specifically, and give me that dude. Because while you can get by still with, I mean, I don't want Corey Unlin anymore, but if you improve the personnel, like if you were to trade for a Jalen Ramsey when you could have, if you draft a guy like Fulton, I think that's going to improve your secondary. But the coaching can do that as well. There were a lot of times this year where it wasn't just Rasul Douglas that didn't turn around. It wasn't just Craven LeBlanc. It was Avante Maddox, too. It was also Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby. When all of the same players, Gino, continue to have some of the same struggles.
I noticed that you didn't mention one
player's name. No, because Sidney Jones actually knew how to turn his body around, and he did it.
He knows how to play cornerback. Yeah.
So, for me, when a lot of the guys have the same struggles, you got to point to Corey Unlin, and you got to look at Corey Unlin's track record and say, why is that dude still here to begin with? This should have been a move, a position they've been looking for 3-4 years ago.
Without a doubt. And I mean, especially in this system where Jim Schwartz relies so heavily.
He puts him on islands corners, every play. Yeah.
Be able to sit, yeah, to sit on an island. You would think that would be the most important position. And they put an emphasis on bringing in Mike Groh that offseason because they didn't have production in wide receivers and they needed to grow their production in wide receivers to help their quarterback. I mean, if you want to help your front, where you have invested all that money with Fletcher Cox, with Malik Jackson, with Brandon Graham, you're going to have to pay Derek Barnett. You're probably going to have to re-sign either Tim Jernigan, Vinny Curry, Josh Sweat, a couple of those guys. Mm-hmm. You need your defense to be able to produce on the outside so those guys can hit home. He doesn't like to blitz when he doesn't have to. He loves to send four, keep the box stacked. And on the outside, he loves to keep his guys on an island. But the thing is, you don't have a coach that you can coach up your players to be able to put them in a position where they can win on an island.
Yep.
And I mean, it doesn't help when there's a miscommunication between Unlin and Schwartz and where these guys need to be lined up. There just has to be cohesiveness between that entire coaching staff and get those guys on the same plane. But because we've seen, I mean, Jalen Mills and Craven LeBlanc, we've seen them make plays, but now they're just like doing things like not turning their head
too
to
much
make a play on the ball. I mean, look back at Craven LeBlanc in the postseason last year. He had one of the best interceptions I've ever seen off of Drew Brees. He's running down the field, tracking the ball perfectly, turns, makes a play on the ball, gets his arm, adjusts his body, and makes an interception. Guys aren't even turning their head around anymore. And it's just continuing to happen. And you're seeing these little stupid things not get coached up when you need to coach up the little things. It's winning Monday through Saturday. That's how you win in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if you're unprepared like you are Sunday, you're going to fail. And you've seen the wide receiver position fail many times this year. Look at Matt Collins. You've seen the cornerback position fail many times this year. Look at Ronald Darby.
And it's despite players that showed a lot of upside before. Like, that's the thing, is when you see an Avante Maddox regress, when you see Rasul Douglas, I don't want to say he regressed this year because I actually really liked what he did the first half of the year, but when you see the inconsistent level of play from a lot of these guys that showed promise, the coaches are not getting enough out of those players.
100%. And the position coaches, we mentioned them, Philip Daniels, Jordan Peele at the Peele, the tight ends coach.
Right.
You have who else? You had
Deuce Staley.
Successfully for Deuce Staley. Sorry, I was drawing a blank on these position coaches. But so now you are in a position to bring in guys to help out those positions because you've seen what coaching can do, and look at guys on the defensive line. I mean, Anthony Rush and Hassan Ridgeway, and now we got Jannard Avery, who's going to be another project, and Josh Sweat, and these guys, we weren't expecting much out of them at all, but they have came and played some big boy ball. I mentioned Matt Pryor and Halepuli Vaitivaitai on the offensive line. I mean, Jeff Stoutland, there's a reason that he's going to be in Philadelphia probably until he retires, I would expect. I mean, you can't let him walk out of the building because he's a great position coach. Now you have your position coaches in place at many of the positions that are important. Now just get two more. I mean, you can do it. You can find guys that are good at coaching wide receivers. You could find guys that are good at coaching cornerbacks. I think the bigger question is who's going to be your offensive coordinator. I think that's the more pressing issue. Mm-hmm. But you can find guys that have track records of developing at those positions and bring them in right now before you lose out on this young talent. Because look at a guy, guy who I laud over and look at as a future piece of this franchise, in JJ. I mean, his injuries definitely hurt him, but man, what happened between the preseason and during the season to where he was off the field for quite some time? A coach couldn't help him out and change up how he ran some slants instead of cutting it flat, keep running the route or doing things differently. Why wasn't he being coached up? Why was Matt Collins still in there? Why wasn't a guy like Greg Ward escalated? There's so many question marks around those two positions that enough is enough, and they need to do something. And I'm glad they did something on one side of the ball. I'm interested to see what they do on defense now, because I ultimately think Schwartz is going to be the DC after this year.
Absolutely, man. And look, they need a lot of personnel to be improved, but also to get that personnel improved with, you know, the guys you have already on the roster, but also people you bring in, not only through free agency, but the young players in the draft, because, you know, they have a ton of draft picks. They're going to need the right coaches to get the most out of those players. And that's why I think, honestly, this edition of offseason options might be one of the most important. Obviously, wide receiver is going to be one, cornerback moving forward, but coaches help play. I mean, players to me make your team go, but coaches, you can't stress enough how important they are, and not just your head coach, not just your offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, but your cornerbacks coach, your wide receivers coach, your running backs coach. Because, you know, look at a guy like Deuce Staley and what he did for Miles Sanders, and look what that did for the Eagles down the stretch. And that's a perfect way to end this edition of Offseason Options right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Me and Gino will be back next week. We're going to kick things off on Monday after this divisional round of playoff games in the NFL, and we'll continue to get going with offseason topics. We'll keep going with offseason options. We'll preview the Senior Bowl, which again, Gino will be at live all week, and a week from next week, so 2 weeks, and it's going to be a really fun couple weeks here on the Locked On Eagles podcast and all throughout the offseason. So make sure you're subscribed on any platform, or you can always head over to LockedOnEagles.com and you'll find every full episode on there as well. And me and Gino are always talking birds on Twitter. Hit us up at DBIASCLOE or at Gino_LOE. And our show page is at Locked On Birds. That's going to do
it
for me.
I mean, we literally talk about it on Twitter all the time. Yeah. I feel like I'm never not talking about the Eagles.
Oh, right. I think we both average at least, you know, a couple tweets an hour. So
minimum.
Hit us up, especially for our jobs. We can still talk birds on the clock.
We won't tell our employers that.
Yeah, don't tell. Yeah. Hopefully they're not listening. That's going to do it for my co-host Gino Camilleri. I'm Lou DiBiase. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.